Hey there, everybody, and welcome to Memento, a podcast by Washington Avenue Christian Church. Here at Washington Avenue Christian Church, we understand that sometimes we forget who we are, and sometimes we forget what we're supposed to do, and sometimes we even forget what we talked about on Sunday morning. So Memento is designed to remind you of who you are and what you're supposed to do and what we talked about on Sunday morning. Glad to be back with you guys. We missed you last week. Most of us were away at a conference, just getting poured into and filled up, and so didn't get an opportunity to record, which is okay because we kind of had an off week from the sermon series through Ephesians anyway. So if you missed from a couple weeks ago, you do need to go back and check out because Milton Jones, who's the director of Christian Relief Fund here in Amarillo, gave us a great message, just kind of casting the vision for what CRF does, who they are, and how they do things. And it was excellent. So make sure that you go check that out on our YouTube page if you missed out on that. But I'm excited to dive back into Ephesians with you this week. I will say that this week and next week are our last couple of weeks in Ephesians through for the end of this year. I forget what I'm trying to say here, but we'll be taking a break after the end of chapter 3 to shift our attention to Advent. But we will continue this podcast through Advent season as well. It'll just look a little bit differently because we won't be talking about Ephesians. We'll be talking about, Thanksgiving and Advent things. So stick with us as we try and navigate that. There will probably be some off weeks naturally just as we're away for Christmas and New Year and things like that, unless I get crazy and decide to do one of these from New Hampshire, but I don't want to take all this stuff with me, so I probably won't. But no promises, either way. Anyway, this week, we are in chapter 3 of Ephesians, and let me begin just by reading the text for us. We're going to be in chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. And what Paul is doing here is really, really interesting. We haven't necessarily mentioned this at any particular phase of this podcast or sermon series yet, but what Paul's doing here is actually trying to prove a point. And the point that he's trying to prove, a lot of people who study Ephesians think, is he's just trying to illustrate this the powerful supremacy of Christ, that Christ is greater and more powerful than anything that we could conceive of or imagine and is thus worthy of our worship. And starting all the way back at the beginning of chapter 2, Paul gives three proofs for that. And the first proof is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And the proof is that Jesus makes dead things alive again. You were once dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, right? We talked about that. And then the second proof comes right after that, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Jesus makes outsiders parts of the family. There were dividing walls between you, but now, because of the work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection, there are no more dividing walls. And this is the third proof of Jesus's supremacy here in chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. And here's the proof, right? That Jesus' mission moves even when its key leaders don't. And here's what we mean by that is Paul is in prison, right? And he says this, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. Paul is in prison. And if you're familiar with Paul in his writings at all, you'll know that Paul never complains about having been in prison. He actually kind of like glories in being in prison. He mentions in Ephesians, or excuse me, we're in Ephesians. He mentions in Philippians, like my imprisonment has proven to advance the gospel maybe further even than it would have if I wasn't in prison, because I get to preach the gospel to the Praetorian Guards, which those are like the secret service to the emperor. So like the gospel's one step away from Nero, and it's because I'm in prison. Like Paul kind of loves being in prison, right? Not for his own sake, but for the sake of the gospel. And that's what he's marveling at here in Ephesians. And that's actually what he's using as a proof that Jesus's power and supremacy is greater than anything else, is that the mission of Jesus is moving in spite of the fact that not just Paul, but other key leaders within the church are imprisoned, right? It looks weird. It looks strange to the world around them, but that is just proof of how powerful Jesus is. Hardship doesn't negate the fact that Paul was called into this vital ministry, right? Paul is, he's praising God for being in prison right now, right? He talks about just like, I'm assuming that you've heard this story about the gospel. And when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men, blah, blah, blah. This mystery is that Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same gospel, and partakers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. And he says, just a moment, I am in prison on behalf of that, right? So the hardship doesn't negate the fact that God called Paul into this vital ministry. It actually confirms the fact that God called Paul into this vital ministry. If you reflect back on the words of Jesus in Matthew, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must what? Deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow after me. And we've painted that into a really pretty like scenic picture where we wear our crosses on our necks, and you know, we get them tattooed on our bodies and all of these things. And it's like, oh, it's just my cross to bear. And then we understand maybe at a base level that Jesus is actually talking about suffering. And so like minor inconveniences become our cross to bear. But what Jesus is actually talking about there, believe it or not, is a cross, right? And this would have been like explosive news to the disciples and the people following them, because that's the first mention of the cross in the New Testament, right? Jesus has never talked about a cross before. Nobody really understands like what the cross has to do with the gospel message to this point. And the first thing that Jesus says, and the first time cross is used, isn't even about Jesus. It's about you and about me and how we effectively follow Jesus. Like, as suffering is an anticipated norm in following Jesus, not the exception. And I know that that's weird for us here in America to think about, because we don't have to really like suffer or do anything for the gospel or anything like that. And so we try and fabricate our own manifestations of suffering and things like that. But we tend to look at hardship and suffering not as a confirmation of our calling, but like as a hindrance to it. And that's just not what the New Testament teaches. Paul is leaning here into the fact that like God has called Paul into this. Paul did not volunteer for this, right? This is not the ideal role. This is not what you want to volunteer or sign up for. This is something that God has called him into. And I just want to take a moment and highlight something. There's an interesting phrase all the way back in verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, right? Which, let me translate, if I may, just a little bit for you. Like, the reason that Paul is in prison is because of the gospel, but specific parts of the gospel, namely that, like, the gospel is for the Gentiles in as much as it's for the Jews. Paul's biggest adversaries were not Rome. His biggest adversaries were Jews who could not find room in their theology for Gentiles to participate. And what Paul is saying is that I'm in prison because of the gospel of Jesus, but specifically because I've been sharing the gospel of Jesus with people like you, Gentiles, which I find fascinating because if you'll remember and hearken back to chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, what Paul has been talking about is how like the dividing wall was torn down, right? That there is no more separation between Jew and Gentile, that which keeps us separated from God has been torn down, and that everybody gets to participate in the gospel now because of Jesus and because of his work on the cross. So all of those things in 2:11 to 22 that Paul talked about Jesus doing, we see in chapter 3, verses 1 through 14, Paul is doing as well. Like Paul is like actually living out his own teachings, which is a really, really incredible thing, right? Paul gets it. He understands what this mystery is, the mystery of the Gentiles being included into the family of God. Another thing that I want to highlight and point out real quick, and this is kind of where we'll camp, is this thought that hardship doesn't change the fact that the ministry is working, right? So we seem to have like interesting definitions of success, right? Like if something is growing and working and gaining influence and capital and all of these things, then it's working. But, you know, usually if the key leaders of something are in prison, that it probably means that thing isn't working. But not so here. Here, hardship does not change the fact that the ministry is working. And I'm evidence of the fact that, like, the ministry worked and is still working, and so are you, right? If you're not a Jew by birth, or if you're not a Jew, that means that you're a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. You're probably a Gentile. And here we are talking about and reflecting on and praising the fact that we get to be included in this as well, which means that, like, historically, the ministry worked, and it is continuing to work in spite of the fact that, like, Paul and Peter and James and John and all of these guys have been in prison. All of these guys were killed for their faith, for proclaiming the gospel and the truth of Jesus, not to Jews, but also to Gentiles. The hardships that they endured was actually a testament to the fact that the ministry worked. Paul talks about, in verse 10, he says, so that through the church, you and me, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities and powers in the heavenly places. And this was according to the heavenly purpose that he has realized in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. But that manifold wisdom is really interesting because, like, having your key leaders imprisoned and killed doesn't look very wise, right? And having your key leaders suffer and die, it doesn't look wise. And yet, we know here and we know in other places in Paul's writing, specifically 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, that, like, the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of God actually turns the wisdom of the world upside down on its head, and it looks totally different, and it looks like weakness over power, and it looks like prison over freedom, and it looks like suffering over anything else. And yet that's the way that God advances his kingdom. Tertullian said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and you can see all throughout the New Testament that the gospel advances when people suffer and are persecuted for it. The proof of Jesus' powerful supremacy, the third proof, is that Jesus' mission moves even when its key leaders don't. And not just the key leaders like Paul and James and John and Peter, those guys, but, like, the mission of Jesus moves even when its participants don't, even when its leaders don't. Like, it's not bound by laws, it's not bound by prisons. The mission of Jesus moves by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it can do what it wants, when it wants, how it wants, without your permission and without my permission. But just because that's the case doesn't mean that we need to get comfortable and to relax and not do our part to move the gospel forward. It actually should maybe ignite us to move the gospel forward even more and to take advantage of the privileges and the freedoms that we have here so that we, while we have them, to move and to advance the gospel. Because just like Paul has been called to move the gospel, so have we. Just like Paul was called to embody his own teachings from Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 11, so have we to tear down dividing walls and to tear down walls of sin and shame and to proclaim the truth of the gospel to people who need desperately to hear it in a loving and grace-filled way. And maybe that's what we need to take away from this today is that we get to do what Paul does too, which is to proclaim the gospel to people who desperately need to hear it, who maybe have never heard of it before, or maybe have heard some weird and sick and twisted version of it. That's our job and our role, and that's the mystery, is that like God wants us to be a part of it with him, and that there's space in God's kingdom for you and for me, and that is a really, really incredible thing. And we get to do these things because of the eternal purposes that have been realized in Jesus. This is 11 and 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering, which is your glory. Paul's suffering was the glory of the Ephesians, and maybe, just maybe, our suffering will bring glory as well if and when it comes. But regardless of if or when it comes, we have boldness and the access of with confidence because of our faith in Jesus to pray big prayers and to ask big things of a God who is fully capable of doing big things because he's already done those big things in the past. So what we have, just to sum up again, is the three proofs of Christ's powerful supremacy. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 is Jesus makes dead things alive again. Chapter 2, 11 to 22 is Jesus makes outsiders part of the family. And today's text, Ephesians 3, 1 through 14, is Jesus' mission moves even when its key leaders don't. But you should move. And next week, we're going to dive into the prayer that Paul actually distracted himself from. This was kind of a tangent, and he gets on a roll here and chases a rabbit trail. And then he comes back in verse 14 and actually prays for the people that he's been talking about praying for a while now. And we'll dive into that next week as we wrap up this first half of Ephesians, and specifically we are reunited. And so we'll dive into that next week. If you enjoyed this podcast, if you've been following but haven't subscribed yet, make sure that you do that. If you follow us on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up so that we know that you're out there and that you're watching us, and hit the bell so that you can get the notifications for when we drop the next episode. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you next week.